And a song. Trust you had enough food to eat. Always good food at Centralia Bible Baptist Church. Good dessert, too. Had a brief meeting right before the afternoon service here, too, with Brother Saffles, our deacon, our trustees, Dad, Brother Guy, and Brother Lauren. Appreciate all their feedback and help, certainly during this time and transition. And then it's worth noting, too, I've just heard nothing but good things about guest preachers that have been coming in to help, not the least of which was Caleb last Sunday. It just sounded like he just did an awesome job. And so you can pray for him. There is a chance. He mentioned to me that they're looking at maybe even doing a job transition, like a lateral move, and that would give him a job that would he'd have to commute between the Olympia and Centralia area. And he said, oh, Pastor Tim, we're actually thinking about moving down south. So you just pray about it, okay? If God works it out, praise the Lord. If not, praise the Lord, okay? But it was just something. And I know Brother Jerry Williams has been here, Brother Scott Peace, and then looking forward to Brother Ron Reisner in a couple weeks as well. But it's going to take a lot of effort, a lot of prayer, diligence, and just keeping things moving forward. So it can't be just one person. And by the way, when the pastor is here, it doesn't take just one person. There's still a lot of help that's still needed. And so a church, I love how Pastor Paul Chappell put it. He said a staff-run church is a staff-ruined church. It takes more than just church staff to see a church thrive and go forward and move forward. But I want to turn our attention to Luke chapter number 2. Probably going to be my last Christmas message. But Christmas is over. Now what? That's actually the title of the sermon. Christmas is over. Now what? Luke chapter number 2. And there's a lesson for us to learn here. After the holiday high of family and food and friends and festivities, you may find this melancholy feeling setting in. After all, you're probably one of the 95%+ of people that had a New Year's resolution that didn't follow through with it. And you're reminded of maybe that let down, and your bank account now is lower than it was now that Christmas has come and went. And perhaps there's no time off in the coming months. We don't have another big national holiday for a while that gives you time off work. And we even have a word for this right now. People suffer from SAD, S-A-D. It's called seasonal affective disorder. So we have disorders about anything that you can possibly think of, and the post-Christmas blues is now one of them, SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And so what do we do to avoid that? Well, as Christians, Jesus is just so much bigger than just a day off work and festivities and food. And so, but I think we have a lesson here that we can learn from the shepherds. Out of the Christmas story, they say this when different people who do these polls, I don't know, but when they poll Americans and ask them, out of all the people in the Christmas story, who do you relate to most? Most Americans say, I identify as shepherds. I'm the bystander, the common worker, the common man. And they teach us a lesson here, Luke chapter number 2, of what to do after Christmas. So verse number 15, Luke 2:15. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It's the phrase, those first four words, and the shepherds returned. What'd they return to? That's what they did while they were returning, but where did they return to? They just returned to work. I mean, this is good news, isn't it? They returned. What were they doing before? They were working. So what did they do? They just went back to work, but they went back to work differently. Okay? So what are we going to do? Christmas is over. Now what? You already see where I'm going with this. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be able to just be renewed again in our mind, and that we can return glorifying and praising you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the shepherds, they give us this life principle here. The shepherds returned, but they returned differently than how they came. So here they come. They experienced the first Noel. They went to the nativity scene, and they behold the babe lying in a manger. They're seeing prophecy that has been unfolded, and God's answering prayer. They weren't educated men. They didn't have extensive libraries. In all probability, most of them probably were illiterate and probably wouldn't even be able to read. And so some of the times we think our life is going to be enhanced with more education, more self-help, all those sort of things. The truth is, we can glorify God, we can praise God, we can get the most out of life with what God's already given us. And sometimes we wait for something else to happen. When I get a higher degree, when I get more education, when I get the perfect place, then I'll get around to serving God in the way that I'm supposed to. The shepherds didn't wait for that. And so they just went, they just returned, and they glorified God. What does it mean to glorify? They went back and they're praising and they're glorifying. What does it mean to glorify God? And the concept, the very essence of what it is to glorify something is to make it a big deal. We can do that. We can do that with our favorite sports team. Brother Guy, what's your favorite sports team? Seahawks. All right. Any other Seahawks fans? Say amen. let's see here. Brother Paul, do you got a favorite sports team? Green Bay Packers. Any Packers fans? church unity. I love it. I love it. All right. How about baseball or basketball? Basketball? Okay, who's got a favorite basketball team? Brian? Mavericks? Brother Jimmy, you got a favorite basketball team? No, okay. So here's the idea, okay? If Brother Guy goes to a Seahawks game, I just use your imagination. Brother Guy goes to a Seahawks game, do you think he'll cheer, like, at all? Do you think he might get a little animated? Do you think it might get loud in Brother Guy's section? All right? What do you think he's going to be wearing? Do you think he might be wearing green or blue or gray or bright neon green? That's what was the color for a little while. It's probably, and he's going there, and when his team scores, he's freaking out. The other team scores, he's still freaking out. But those sort of things. And the idea of glorifying something is to make a big deal about something. When somebody's not a Seahawks fan, they would look at a Brother Guy and say, "What's the big deal?" It's because they're not a fan. They don't care, all right? But Brother Guy is glorifying. He's making a big deal about his team, all right? Green Bay Packers. Do you put a cheese head on? No cheese for the cheese head. So there's none of that stuff's going on. But the idea, when it comes to sports, I'm just telling you this. We know what it is to glorify. We make a big deal about our sports team. It's to make a big deal about something. Sometimes we make a big deal about burnt toast. Someone burns the toast, and you'll hear about it for a week. You're making a big deal about burnt toast. Yeah, you're glorifying it. You're making a big deal about something, okay? That's in a negative way. But to make something a big deal, here's the question. What's bigger than God? How do you make him bigger then? How do you make a big deal about God? You can never make him bigger, but you can make a big deal about him. Brother Guy doesn't make the Seahawks team bigger, but he can make a big deal about them. And so the shepherds, when they returned, what does that mean? They just went back to work. They went back to their homes. They went back to everyday life, but they went back differently. What were they doing? They were now glorifying God. They're making a big deal about their creator, the one who's created them, the one who sustained them, the one who's, man, broke through now thousands of years of prophecy, and they're praising God and glorifying God. To praise, a lot of the times, has to do with singing. It's funny, and it's been a little while since I've talked about this, but more often than not, worship really has to do with humbling yourself before God. Praising has to do with singing. Glorifying is just making a big deal about them. But the Bible says they went back praising and glorifying God. But they went back with a song in their heart. They didn't suffer from sad. They went back singing. And there's something about singing. I would say this, that for a Christian, if the songs we only sing, if we only sing songs that would honor the Lord while we're in a church building, we're missing out. We got to know what it is to praise God outside of a church building, is what I'm saying. And so they weren't just praising God at the nativity. They weren't just praising Him at the site. They returned, and they were praising God as they returned. So think about it. They went back to work, and what were they doing? Singing. Amen. They went back to work, and what were they doing? Glorifying. And then it specifically says in verse number 20, for the things that they had heard and seen. It's something that they personally experienced. So for any Christian that has a personal walk with the Savior, you then likewise have something to sing about and glorify God about. When you don't have a personal walk with God, you'll have very little to praise Him for. So the shepherds, they saw, they heard, something very personal has happened, and now they've got something to make a big deal about. Man, we should see the gospel blossom and create new desires in our hearts and in our home, and we ought to praise the Lord for that. Brother Jerry, are you still making salty donkeys at your workplace? Yeah. I know. Susan, is Susan here? I was so blessed last time I was in the Chehalis post office. And I was with Mom. And Mom says, this is where Susan works. And you'll peek in there and you can see different artwork that has to do with God. And there, I talked to her about that. She said, yeah, the post office was giving me a hard time trying to make me take all that down. So I'd say, well, then you got to make everybody else take it down, their personal artwork too, because this is me. It's a personal representation of me. And she stood her ground. Amen. And you can stay. They don't give her a hard time about it anymore. Yes. So at the United States Post Office, you can find Susan Green's place. By her. What is she doing? She said, God's too big. God's bigger than the U.S. Post Office. If I lost my job here, I'd find a job someplace else. That's the testimony. God's big. And so there's something that each of us, wherever we're planted, man, make a big deal about God. So here we are, Christmas is over. Didn't get the gifts I wanted. Are you sad? My bank account's lower, so you're sad. Seasonal affect disorder. These sort of things set in. Hey, stop it. If there's something that personal that has happened between you and God, we get to experience this really on a weekly basis. He's this risen Savior, and every Sunday we celebrate a risen Savior. And every chance, we get a chance to return. Hey, return to your home better, not bitter. Go home and let the light of God shine at home. Return glorifying God. Return praising God. Return home. Return to the work. Man, when you go to work, smile. Be a friend. Be trustworthy. Be dependable. Don't be the gossip. Ask a coworker how you can pray for them. You hear about a coworker that's going through a difficult time, or a neighbor. Ask them if you can pray for them, and then follow up. I've been praying for you. How are things going? These are all ways you can glorify your God. Brother Jerry, one thing he taught me was when people ask you how you're doing, I say blessed. I took that down to Hope Children's Home. That idea, there's a lot of people come up to me now at Southside Baptist. They've done this for as long as I've been there now. They come up and they say, Brother Tim, how you doing? And I'll say, blessed. And they just, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I come ask you that every Sunday, because I love hearing that. And that's why I used to ask Brother Jerry, how you doing? Because he'd say blessed, and I loved hearing that. But anyway, that's catching on in Florida too, Brother Jerry. So Brother Jerry's impact going on down in Florida. But there's different things. I remember one time I was preaching at a church in the Seattle area, and a gentleman had come, and I was asking about how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, it started with my dad. And he said, no, actually, it started with my dad's coworkers. And when he was in his 20s, he got a job at the same factory that his dad had worked in. And one of the fellows that had been employed there for quite a long time, turns out, in fact, he was employed the same time his dad was. And so he grabs this acquaintance of mine. He says, I want to show you something. They walk through the factory, and they went into a room, and he opens the door, and he points at a table, And he goes, this is where me and about five guys used to get together and we prayed for your dad to be saved. His dad did get saved, which then led to his wife getting saved, which then led to the family getting saved. And now here's this guy now in his 20s hearing the testimony about how it wasn't a group of preachers. It was shepherds. It was blue-collared guys that just loved God, but also had this determination in their own heart that said, my workplace is going to be different because I'm here. God's here. I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to praise God. And I remember he was so choked up, and that's a pretty cool story. He says, I'm standing in the place where men used to pray for my dad to be saved, and his family is, on a totally different trajectory than where it once was. How did that happen? It was some factory workers that had a personal experience with God, but they just didn't leave it there. They returned. They returned back to their homes. They returned back to their workplace. And what did they do? They glorified God, made a big deal about him, and they praised him for all the things that they had seen and heard. Maybe today, just asking God, would you give me an open door? Would you revive my heart to praise and to glorify you? Just wherever you take me, wherever I'm going, remember the shepherds. The praise was the natural overflow of their own hearts after they experienced an amazing God. So I think that's the opportunity. Don't get sad. Seasonal affect disorder. Don't let it set in. You got that melancholy feeling set over to you. Stop it and just think of a way. How can I glorify God? How can I praise the Lord today? I want to have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. We won't have an invitation time, but I just want you to chew on those things. And with that said, though, man, had a good day. Good day in the house of the Lord. Fellowship, hang out as long as you want. Brother Guy, are you locking up?
Sure, yeah.
I don't know who is, but whoever it is, just turn the lights off and enjoy it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you. I think a good lesson here from the shepherds. When life was interrupted, and Bible, you even tell us they were sore afraid and didn't know what in the world was going on. And then they get to see, they get to hear the angels sing, they get to see and hear how you've answered prophecy. And then afterwards, they just returned. They did go back to their homes, but they went back different. And so I pray that would sink in to us, that we have an opportunity to return to our workplaces, our places of hobby or homes, different in a good way, Lord, and let our lives impact others about us so that you can be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Lord bless you. You are dismissed.